Hello, and you're very welcome to the programme.
This is International Dawn Chorus Day, Sunday, May 1st. And for the first time ever, our celebration of nature's great symphony was a truly international event. From our base here in Cove in County Cork, between midnight and 6 a.m, we brought you the orchestral sounds of the birds as they awoke first in Russia in the east, through Poland, Austria, Norway, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and of course, here at home in Ireland. So in case you missed it, here's another chance to luxuriate in the glorious sounds of the Dawn Chorus.
But it's not only us who look forward to the Dawn Chorus, you know.
Sure, I love the Dawn Chorus. I look forward to it every year, actually, when it's going out on the radio. I nearly stay up for the middle of the night to be hearing it.
It's just such a magical moment. Heaven, beginning of spring, beauty, and the birds having a great time up there.
Are you familiar with the Dawn Chorus?
I'm pretty familiar with it, yes. I'm up at 5:30 every morning, so I'm a good time to hear it. It sort of gives you a bit of pep, start off the day. It's a bit of a help to you, I think.
They do actually wake you up. Where I live, they actually do wake you up in the middle of the night.
Here in Dublin, I take the bus to work 6 o'clock every morning. I hear the birds singing while I'm standing on the bus stop. I'm not sure of the names, but their voices are so, so sweet.
I don't know would I be able to actually recognise a particular song, but I would think the cuckoo and the blackbird, the wren.
Oh, what's the name of the fellow who goes, teacher, teacher, teacher? Yeah. Whose is that?
That's the great tit.
The great tit, he's beautiful. I love hearing him.
Okay, 4:30 in the morning, I think they're flirting. They're alive, they're territorial. Little bit of romance going on there.
I believe they're calling out, like saying to each other, well, I'm here, I'm looking for a mate. And they're also saying, this is my territory, so buzz off.
In Sweden, we say, fåglarna kvittrar, which means birds are singing.
My name is Derek Mooney. I'm joined here by ornithologist Jim Wilson and zoologist Dr. Richard Collins. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Derek, and it's a fantastic morning. This is the exciting part. We're getting the ball rolling, so to speak, on our marathon broadcast here from Kuskany Marsh. And all the mics are in place. The birds were singing while we were setting them up today. It's all nice and quiet now. Hopefully they're all resting their vocal cords for what will truly be an amazing and unique experience live on air from where we are here today.
Whatever happens, come hell or high water, as they say, the birds will sing. They depend on it for their survival.
Absolutely. As sure as the sun comes up every morning, the birds will sing.
Richard Collins, your thoughts?
Derek, well, the wildebeest roam the plains of Africa, and the flamingos gather into huge concentrations on its lakes. In North America, you have the caribou, and the grizzly bears man the waterfalls to ambush the salmon as they go upstream, and the wolves howl at night. Now, what in Europe have we got to equal that? Well, I believe that our Dawn Chorus, hearing our Dawn Chorus, is one of the great wildlife experiences. And I happen to think, though I'm biased, that the one we have in Ireland is better than those I've heard anywhere else, not just in Ireland, but also in Poland. I heard magnificent dawn choruses in Poland. We have something to really boast about, a wildlife experience second to none, the Dawn Chorus of Europe.
Well, thank you, Richard. And for the very first time in the history of the Mooney Goes Wild programme, millions of listeners right across Europe will have the chance to awake with us to the magical sound of nature's most magnificent concert, thanks to our partners in the European Broadcasting Union. As dawn breaks and morning light spreads from east to west, we'll be bringing you the breathtaking beauty of birdsong as it moves like a spectacular wave of sound across the face of the earth. So for the next 6 hours, we'll be coming to you live from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve here in Cove in County Cork on the south coast of Ireland. So please allow us to be your travel companions as we embark on this unique journey together, navigating our way right across the continent. We'll find out about that very shortly, but first, let's talk to our colleagues at BBC Radio Ulster, Anne-Marie McAleese. Good morning.
Good morning, Derek, and hello, Europe. So nice to hear you and to broadcast with you on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Radio Foyle from our place here in Northern Ireland at Tullymore Forest Park in County Down. It is an incredible place, just about an hour from Belfast, 2 from Dublin, maybe 6 from Cork. I'm here with Dr. Kendru Colquhoun, a good Donegal man from the RSPB and Kendry. This is a place, you know, like the back of your hand, a very, very special place for birds and nature in general.
Yes, lovely part of the world here in South Down. Mountains are fantastic beside the sea. And fantastic bit of woodland on the northern side of the Granite Mourns. Beautiful.
We watched the sun set just beyond the trees that are shrouding the Mourne Mountains. I mean, it is an incredible place. It's not just good for birds, though. It's good for wildlife, because I saw signs for deer, and I know red squirrels like this place. And if that rain does come to pass, we can, of course, go indoors inside Tullymore National Outdoor Centre. Or, Derek, you'll be glad to know that they built a teepee especially for us. And I had a grand notion that this teepee would be, I don't know, maybe 7-star, a bit of a yurt with a pot-bellied stove and electricity and everything. And to be honest, it looks more like a Boy Scout tent. But we'll hopefully be glad, well, maybe not, hopefully be glad of it. If it does rain, we'll be in the tent.
Sure, look, we know what rain is in Ireland. And Jim Wilson is wearing a teepee on his head. I think it's because he's follically challenged. I'm not 100% sure, but he's wearing something that resembles a teepee. Oh, no, a toupee. Anyway, listen, we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much indeed, Kendrew. And thank you very much indeed, Anne-Marie McAleese. And we're going to the Netherlands to Eric Dempsey and Rob Guter. Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you, Derek. Yeah, welcome to, like Deirdre said, a clear and chilly night. We're under a beautiful starry sky, Jupiter shining very bright. Let me explain a little bit about the location where we are. In the north of the Netherlands, we have this big tidal sea, the Wadden Sea. And there's five inhabited big islands. The biggest is Texel, that's where we are. I just saw Eric disappearing behind the bushes there. I think, Eric, you are very close to a singing nightingale right now.
Yes, Rob, and I'm going to speak in hushed tones, Derek and Rob and everybody. I've actually just sort of worked my way in through the scrubland here, and I'm very close to a nightingale, so I'm going to stop talking and let people hear the first word of the dawn chorus.
Isn't that a beauty?
Oh, wow. Isn't that a wonderful sound, guys? Yes. And I mean, for those who don't know, nightingales, they're similar almost, like they're related to chats and robins, and they sing at night, and we've had about 6 or 7 birds in this area, but I've very slowly worked my way in among the scrubland here, and thankfully it's a lovely starry night, and this bird is singing its heart out very close to me. I'm going to stop talking, because this is what the dawn chorus is about, is listening to a bird like this.
So we're going to come back to you, Rob and Eric, very shortly, but right now we want to head very north. We want to go to Voss in Norway, and to our colleagues at NRK, the National Broadcasting Service in Norway. Niall Hatch is with Helge Søfterland. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Derek. Hello, Europe. We might sound a bit muted, actually, and it's not because we're freezing to death or anything, but the main star of the show here in Norway, the capercaillie, the alpha male, actually, he flew in a couple of hours ago, and he's actually sitting 10-15 meters to the left, to in our western direction, in a tree just above us here, and he made no mistake coming in, Niall.
Absolutely. I thought, honestly, someone had turned on a diesel generator and was going to ruin our dawn course. That's what it sounded like. Or like someone like vigorously or violently shaking a sheet of plastic. What a noise. And it's such a thrill to know that we're surrounded literally a couple of meters away by several of these amazing capercaillies. What a stunning bird it is. It's one of Europe's real stars, I think. It's really, for those who don't know, it's like an overgrown turkey on steroids. And they're here in the morning because we know at this site, despite the fact that we've got snow all around us and we're high in the very, very cold Norwegian mountains, these birds will
given a little bit of luck, we're going to see a little magical ritual here when he brings his genes onto the next generation.
Yes, and the Lady Capercaillies really seem to like this. It all boils down to this. What'll happen is that he does performances, or the few males will, but the lady's been watching, not just tonight, but they watch for a couple of weeks now. And the males that impress them the most, they'll finally give them the chance to mate with them. And then, of course, the male who does that's his job done. He has no role in raising those chicks or looking after the eggs or anything like that. He's passed his genes on, and the female has to take care of them then for a month or two. And so what it really is for the males, his chance of being a father, it all comes down to how well he can perform in this lek. And there will be some frustrated males. I know, Derek, you've had some experiences with those up in Scotland a few years ago. I remember you telling me you were
filming
them.
Don't make me sound
there.
Any weirder than I am, Niall. But I did. I'm making a short film for a programme called BBC Nature Detectives, which is on BBC One. I think back in 1992, I was sent to the Scottish Highlands to meet this capercaillie called Charlie. And Charlie had missed out in all of the leks, so he never got to mate with anybody. And he would mate with anything. Now, if anybody's ever seen a capercaillie, a very large bird of the forest, they've got a beak like a secateur's, and they would take the hand off you. Anyway, this guy chased me around the forest till I eventually gave in. No. But he chased me around the forest and would chase cars and would chase deer and would chase everything because it needed and wanted so desperately to mate. It was extraordinary to witness it. But I'm wondering if they're picking off the strongest guy, the guy with the best genes. Surely there's a lot of frustrated capercaillie floating around up there.
Yes, I believe so. And I think that's going to be one of the big spectacles we'll see, because these birds, it's really the last chance. It's getting right towards the end of the mating season. There's been matings the last couple of nights here, and the business done very, very quickly. It takes about 5 or 6 seconds after all of that preamble. It's really their last chance. They really have to impress these ladies for us this morning, and hopefully they'll impress all of Europe when they do it.
Can I suggest you two be extremely careful?
Thanks for your concern, Derek.
Thank you.
Let's now go to Moscow, to Sparrow Hills, and our colleagues at Radio Russia. And we have Alexander Habagayev, and the interpreter is Andrei Pedjenka. Good morning, Russia.
Morning.
Good morning, Derek.
Hello, Derek. I'm very glad to hear your voice, because you are the first singing bird in Moscow.
You know, we are in the middle of the night here, and probably you are the only bird or at least any object that emits any sounds.
То, что вы сейчас слышите, звук фоном, это не ток глухарей, это наш дизель.
And in the background you may hear some noise, and unfortunately they are not capercaillies or any other birds. It's just a generator, a gas generator that we use to power up our van.
Мы находимся в очень интересном месте. Это самая высокая точка Москвы.
We are now at a very interesting spot. It's the highest point in Moscow with the greatest elevation.
И потом, не волнуйтесь, когда закричат наши птицы, они перекричат даже шумы моторов.
And then I don't think we should worry when our birds awaken, when they wake up. They'll be so loud that they'll even drown even the sound of motor engines.
Особенно вороны.
Especially crows.
could you give us an idea of how many mics you've got?
У нас три микрофона.
We have three microphones for the birds.
Два в руках у нас с Андреем.
Two of which we are holding, Andre and I are holding in our hands. And our team has, our engineers have a third microphone which they can take out into the woods, and they can bring it as close to a bird's beak as they can, unless, of course, the bird is sitting too high.
Оба наших инженера небольшого роста.
Unfortunately, both of our sound engineers are rather short.
У нас уже довольно много птиц.
You know, at this time of the year we have quite many birds.
Мы с Андреем стоим рядом с большими елями.
Andrea and I are standing next to largish fir trees, and on those trees it's greenfinch is pretty common.
Поэтому их всегда здесь очень много, но они начнут петь с рассветом. Это брачная песня самцов зеленушек, такая трель.
And there are a lot of greenfinches in this area, and they sing a lot, but after the dawn breaks, and their song is very easily recognizable. It sounds like.
Еще у нас здесь очень много дроздов, но лучше бы. Еще у нас здесь очень много дроздов, но лучше бы они не пели, потому что у них очень плохие голоса.
Also, we have a lot of blackbirds here, but
no black, grey.
Grey.
Другой, another kind.
Grey thrusts. There are lots of them here, but we'd rather not hear them sing because their voices are kind of awful.
Черные дрозды поют очень хорошо, но у нас их очень мало.
And as you know, blackbirds are excellent singers, but unfortunately there are too few of them here in this area.
Listen, Andre, I have to hand it to you. I was wondering if you were going to translate that sound, and you did. I think it's fantastic. Can I just say it's a joy to have Radio Russia join us this morning. An absolute treat.
Я боюсь еще раз сделать прррр, потому что прилетит очень много самок.
And you know, as far as I am concerned, I am rather cautious about making another prrr sound because otherwise I am afraid I'll attract too many females.
Oh, boys, it's absolutely lovely to talk to you, Andrei and Alexander. We'll come back to you again very shortly. Thank you very much indeed, and good morning, Russia. Let's now go to Hamwall Nature Reserve in Somerset, Eileen Ilana and Brett Westwood. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Derek. How are you doing? I hope I won't need an interpreter. I'm trying to speak slowly on the radio because I'm over here. And I'm talking here to Brett Westwood, and it's absolutely freezing here. The stars are wonderful. We can see Orion, we can see the Plough, we can see the Milky Way. I've never seen such a clear sky, and it's all shining down upon Hamwell Reserve. Brett, you know Hamwell Reserve so very well. Tell us what it looks like in the daytime.
Well, Hamwell by day is a fascinating place. If you look from the air, it would just be glittering sort of stripes of ditches and what they're called reens locally. It's spelled R-H-Y-N-E. But these are peat diggings.
Good morning, Sinead.
Good morning, Derek. You can email Mooney at rte.ie or you can text 51551, which is what Jim from Drogheda did earlier when he was listening to the Russians, Alexander and Andrei. He said, Derek, that alone was worth the TV licence. God bless Russia. And that's from Jim, thoroughly enjoying it. Tom emailed us to say, hi guys, I'll be listening to you from darkest Africa, Randburg to be exact, just north of Johannesburg. Really looking forward to it. I've got a few local twitchers to listen in to you as well. Helen Cook contacted us to say, I'm in the car, driving home late and loving the Dawn Chorus. She says, this is like Eurovision for the birds, all alpha males, plumage and song.
Sinead, thank you very much indeed. Let's go back to the Netherlands, to the island of Texel. Eric Dempsey and Robert Buter. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, like I said, we're on the edge of a tidal sea here on Texel. And the birds don't care about dawn or dusk here. They live by the tides. So it goes on all night, actually. And we're right at the edge of a small colony of black-headed gulls and sandwich terns. And you can also hear some avocets. The avocets in Dutch is called kluut, which is the sound they're making. They're saying kluut, 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 kluut. Eric, you hear them?
It's an amazing lagoon, this. A little earlier, before it got dark, there was avocets here. There was also spoonbills, which are the large egret with the spatulate bill. And there was a large group of them feeding in the lagoon here. It's for an Irish bird watcher, it's an exotic place. But the sounds that's on this lagoon at the moment is amazing. So I'm going to stay quiet. It's about the bird sounds. And we just have a listen to what this lagoon is like in pitch blackness. Hold on for a moment.
Now, just for a second, I heard the alarm call of our national bird that was actually elected a couple of months ago, the godwit, black-tailed godwit, just flew over. But he's not really active during the night. We'll hopefully hear more of him later on this morning.
Well, I know you have a song released about your national bird, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Shall I look it up for you? It is in Dutch, though.
Well, we have it. If people would like to hear it, can we have a little listen to it?
Yeah, we'll look it up for you. Yeah. Oh, you got it!
I come from Haninge, which is located outside Stockholm. We're surrounded by a lot of forests, so hearing birds is an everyday occurrence. Every year we go mushroom picking, and as you get lost in the forest for hours, you pick up on different bird sounds, and one in particular that I miss is a woodpecker. I haven't heard this in over 15 years. I would love to hear a woodpecker sound from the Dawn Chorus show. And in Sweden we say fåglarna kvittrar, which means birds are singing.
What you're listening to right now is the sound of a thrush nightingale in Poland. The Dawn Chorus has indeed started in Russia. It has started in Finland and it has started in Poland. So we leave the thrush nightingale singing there in Poland. Let's go to Hamwall Nature Reserve in Somerset. Brett Westwood and Einin Ilana.
We're going to introduce a note of culture into the proceedings now. And Brett was going to introduce you to our poet.
Yes, one of the inspiring things about these sort of places is that they bring out the lyricism in all of us, and not just the birds. And I'm very lucky to have with us Paul Farley, who's a writer about all natural things, and particularly poetry. And Paul, you've chosen a particular poem to read to us as well.
Yeah, I was thinking of what would, I suppose, explain the attraction of birds to poets, because poets always have been attracted to birds ever since Homer. There's plenty in the Iliad and the Odyssey. And I came across this poem, which is by W.H. Auden. I think it says something about the attraction. Seamus Heaney said once that poetry is language in orbit. And I think he's talking about poets having to make the language sing. And in a funny kind of way, I think poets are envious of birds because they don't have any language. They just have a kind of pure, untrammeled musicality, you know? So I'll read this poem. And we are actually, I should just say for the listeners, we are sitting in what look like beach chairs, which will occur in the first line of the poem. And it also mentions the only bird that's named is a robin. So this is by W.H. Auden. It's called Their Lonely Betters. As I listened from a beach chair in the shade to all the noises that my garden made, it seemed to me only proper that words should be withheld from vegetables and birds.
We're going to head now up to Norway and we're going to rejoin Helge and Niall Hatch.
Well, what can I say? The capercaillie has landed. And I'm here with a slightly excited Irishman.
A very excited Irishman. We're about 10 metres, probably even less than that, from at least two capercaillies I can see in front of us at the moment, strutting their stuff, popping and clicking and belching and jumping, and it's absolutely amazing. Tails fanned out, just right beside us. I've never seen anything like it. Absolutely incredible. Can you hear that sound there? That wonderful popping sound?
We can. Let's all stay quiet for a moment and have a listen.
It's actually the alpha male charging arrival slightly away from us to the west here now. Amazing. It chased him down.
They're so aggressive. And oh,
this
female,
one, this
female,
one, female. Female.
And male in hot pursuit behind her.
Playing up rather nicely in front of the microphone. Oh, listen to that. Let's all be quiet again, shall we? Is chasing her 3 or 4 meters behind her, dragging his wings, strutting his tail, and now he veered off to the left, and she's alone, she's looking after him, wondering where did he go, and she's moving in on the sweet spot of the lake, 2 or 3 meters away. getting ready for some action, I think. But he's more worried about his rival. He's taking off to the left, chasing some rival. There's another female flying in. Wow. Here it, oh, he's actually chasing the other female into the lake.
It's kicking off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
look at that. Just a quick smash of the wings, throwing some snow up into the air and just herding us, his little female into the lake. He's coming at us.
Oh, he knows he owns this place, doesn't he? It's his. This is his spot. Oh, Derek, he is right in front of us. He's probably 7-8 meters away from us, strutting his stuff, tail fanned out. He's just a picture of avian perfection is what he is. He's incredible. And the ladies look impressed as well.
Well, that's the sound of the rival flying in.
Which means things are only going to get hotter from here.
Uh-oh. He's seen him. Look at the determination on that guy's face.
He means business. Yeah. They're strutting around, and they do this thing where they drag the wings along the ground to make the sound as well. And the white patches on the side of the body that just really stick out. The light's coming up now first. We can see him quite clearly. He's just showing his dominance. He's saying, this is my patch. I want all these females. Everyone else, get lost.
And if you could have a medical team standing at the ready, because if this gets any more exciting, Niall Hatch's eyes are going to pop out of his head.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it for a second. But what a good way to go.
Cork musician John Spillane has written a beautiful song about the Dawn Chorus.
When the morning breaks and the light comes flooding down on all our lives and the air is singing, who sings the stars down from the darkness? Who sings the sun up into the morning? Who cracks open the dawn? Us, sing the blackbird and the thrush. Us, sing the red-breast robin. And us, sings the band of wrens, singing in the fresh green branches. All join in the dawn chorus.
Good morning, Europe. You're listening to the Dawn Chorus live from Ireland. What you're listening to now is the lovely sounds from Hamwall Nature Reserve in Somerset and the sounds from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve here in Cove in County Cork. It took some time to get going, but when it got going, it got going, and it's still going. And we will continue for another hour or so. The beautiful sounds of early morning birdsong. A unique collaboration with the European Broadcasting Union. It's been a wonderful morning. A delight to experience. My final thanks to all of our colleagues at the European Broadcasting Union for this unique collaboration. And finally, my most sincere thanks to the birds of Europe for singing. And I suppose, as it's Ireland, we should leave you with a traditional piece of Irish music from one of Ireland's foremost musicians, Orrin O'Cassidy.
Romila Mahaga Derek, Nahinta Roda Evensha, a gate of Lesh Nahainini, a Kandaka Mairach, a Fodna Hyorapa, and Law Baltimore, the 1st of May. What a special privilege to be here listening to the birdsong all over Europe. What a wonderful programme. And I'd like to just play an air for you called The Lark in the Clear Air. It's one of the great Irish harper tunes set to a magnificent poem by Samuel Ferguson, which goes as follows. Dear thoughts are in my mind, and my soul soars enchanted as I hear the sweet lark sing in the clear air of the day.